This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. I have to my right Nate, and across from me is Travis. And today we're going to be talking about the cross. Last week we talked about Lent. We're preparing for that moment of the cross, but really the moment of the resurrection. But we wanted to spend some time talking just a little bit about the cross. I was kind of just reminded of the significance of the cross just recently. I was listening to a good old Alan Jackson hit, and it wasn't actually done. He didn't write the song, Nate, but it's called The Old Rugged Cross.
I just Googled it and that's what it said.
But he sang that song, and many country people have sang that song. And in the song, it goes, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame." And I was thinking about the idea of why was the cross so shameful?
Yeah, well, the Romans were the ones that did crucifixion. It was a criminal's punishment. You were put out in public, hung up on a pole or, you know, a cross, and people could walk by, and typically you weren't fully clothed. And so,
yeah, they jeered at you, they spit at you, and it was like not even, it was like a requirement to do that too. And in Middle Eastern cultures, the shame factor, not only for you, but for your family, your friends, anybody associated with you, was caught up in the cross.
And one person that wrote about it called it a ritualized extermination. And because of the mocking, because of the publicity surrounded by it, it was almost like entertainment for the people, for the vilest of criminals to attend this and jeer at them. It was kind of like a sport and the big thing to do in town.
Yeah. And for the Romans, it was very effective, right? Because whatever behavior they didn't want in their culture, they would stick that person associated with that behavior on a cross. And everyone knew what the Romans were trying to, you know.
Yeah. There was a list above their heads that told what they're being corrected for or being killed for. Maybe that's a better way to say it. I don't
Removed
know if there's correction.
From society.
Removed from society, yeah. Well, they treated them not as – it was almost like they were no longer human. It was an extinction. It was a taking out. It was putting the dog asleep.
It was even worse than that, because that was like the ultimate capital punishment, right? Like you've heard the stories of the decapitations and putting their heads on a pole. This was even worse than that.
Yeah, because it's not like our capital punishment today where stick a needle in someone, they fall asleep. This is torture for an extended period of time. Hours, if not days, you could be on a cross. And I don't know if we want to get into all the details of what happens when someone's dying on the cross, but you're basically pushed to the point of exhaustion and you're trying to breathe because you have to lift yourself up on nails, or if you're lucky, you have some ropes to hold on to, but it's just exhausting and a suffocating, literally suffocating death.
Yeah, I think probably all of us would probably take a quick peeksie just out of horrid fascination of what was going on. But the horrific nature of it, I think, would have been pretty offensive just for people to look at and to see. And for Christ to go to the cross, if he is absolutely perfect, which we absolutely believe he was and is, it would be – it's like the most ridiculous thing in the world that we could possibly do to him would be to put him on the cross, to take away what he should have been given, which was glory and honor, and put him in a place where he is really less than human to save all of humanity. He goes there and willingly goes to the cross and dies for us. So I think there's just that part of it, that Jesus is sitting there and it is offensive to his family. It's offensive to his followers. You know, his mom is there. It's terrible in that sense. And Jesus going there, knowing who he is, knowing that he is truly the Son of the living God, going to that cross had to be offensive. But also, when we look at the cross, the transition in that is it is super offensive because it is a treatise on the human condition. It's a condemnation, if you will, on human potential. Because we, our human potential, we think that we're evolving. We think that we're good. We think that we can help ourselves. But Jesus dying on the cross, really, when you look at that, you recognize, nope, I'm not good. Nope, I can't save myself. Nope, I'm not evolving. And it really is offensive to look at the cross and what Jesus was doing on the cross for us. Otherwise, if Jesus went to the cross and he wasn't who he said he was, he wasn't the Son of God, he wasn't perfect, it actually doesn't really matter. He's just another dude in history that went to the cross, because there are many people that went to the cross. But if you start to look at the cross and you start to go, he is truly the Son of the living God, it is super offensive, because you recognize that you're not good, that you are not evolving, and that you can't help yourself.
Yeah, and one of the things that was difficult for even presenting the message to others, Paul talked about this idea that Jesus as a savior who was crucified was foolish to the Gentiles. And there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, how do you have a crucified savior? A guy who is crucified is someone who got caught. He couldn't save you from anything. So they had a really hard time with this. But not only that, it's like, it's shameful. It's ridiculous. Why would you follow this guy who this is his end? This is what he is known for. You know, it's a stumbling block, if you will. And so for us to really embrace Jesus, we have to take a hard look at ourselves and embrace what the cross is saying about who we are. And we're fallen. We're nasty. We're wicked. And once you have that mindset, like, you realize what Jesus has done.
I think that's the offense. That's the persecution. Jesus was persecuted for something that he didn't even do.
Yeah.
And when we point people to the cross, we become persecuted. In our society today, evangelicals are being, I don't know, persecuted, but we're at least being called out as being fools and being absolute knuckleheads for believing in this or holding to this. We're called into places where we have hate speech because we say, no, this is what the Bible says, or this is what God has for you. This is the very best life that you can possibly have, and be more human than ever possible by following in the ways of Jesus, by walking in his ways and by walking in the things of him. And I think that is part of the foolishness of it, is that people, the Bible says that darkness does not like light. And so part of it is that light of, crud, I'm not good. What? Well, I'm better than Jimmy, but God doesn't grade on a curve. It's a pass fail. And the Bible's pretty clear about that. It's a pass fail thing. And if your faith is not in Jesus Christ, you fail. You can't do anything to it. One of the beauties of the cross and one of the humbling parts of the cross is that was our death. The Bible's very clear that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Bible's clear about this. And when you're at that point, when you're looking at the cross and you're going, whoa, that was meant for me. That was meant, that was my destiny. And Jesus took all of that in that moment on the cross. He took all of the shame, not his shame, but all of our shame, all of our disobedience, all of those things. And he's the one who actually passed the test. He's the one who has this incredible inheritance and incredible glory that he was looking forward to, I believe, when he was there on the cross, that he was going to be able to give that inheritance away. And he gives that to us freely when we place our faith in him.
Yeah. The cross, it's such an interesting thing, because people can look at what Jesus did on the cross and think, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. I can't embrace this message. Where other people can look at the cross and say, this is so meaningful. This is like the linchpin of understanding our world. And the differences of perspective is so interesting. Paul actually takes note of that. He says the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And God in his power wasn't going to allow sin to just go unaddressed. And that's part of the beauty of the cross, is like God said there will be justice. There must be some type of punishment. There must be some type of action for all of this wickedness. And the fact that Jesus decided to do that, to be that for us, to be in our place, that's where the beauty of it lies. There's still justice, because sin is being punished through Jesus, through his perfection, that he was the one sacrifice that could pay for all of our sin. And so justice is being served, and yet Jesus willingly went there, willingly chose to be that sacrifice for us. And so the love that he demonstrates in that moment is unimaginable.
It's huge, yeah. And you were talking about how he died for the scum of the earth basically earlier. And as I was thinking about that, like, I feel like when I think about it, I am part of the scum of the earth, right? And not only was he scorned and ridiculed and humiliated, but he also became the worst of all. He took on all of our sin, the worst stuff that we could possibly think of or imagine or do. And Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And I think that's where that beautiful component comes in. That's where that powerful component comes in, that Jesus, the perfect, he lived out perfectly. And back then, Jesus had to live according to the law. That was the moral standard for society. And sin uses the law to bring death. And it was our spot on that cross.
The Jewish law.
The Jewish law. Yeah. Yep. Jewish law. And so that's where we should have been. And when you start to, you have that linchpin then in your thinking and your faith, it's super powerful. The cross means so much.
Well, it helps you to recognize just that you're really not good. Even Jesus says that.
Mm-hmm.
He says, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And that is true. God is only good. It was kind of an interesting question because I think he knew who he was. He was the Son of the living God and he was God. And so I think it was an interesting question of like, hey, are you, it was sarcastic. Hey, are you calling me God? Like, is that why you're calling me good? But the Corinthians, Paul is talking to them and it talks about this foolishness and this idea of that foolishness or that crucifixion. They thought it was moronic, if you will. They thought mm-hmm. it was just, this is just stupid. Like, why would you put your trust in one person to save you? Well, who are you putting your trust in? That begs the question. If you recognize that you are not good, then what are you putting your trust in? You're putting your trust in something, whether it be yourself. You know, you can read the next self-help book and maybe you can, I don't know what you would do better, you know.
Do it yourself ways to get to heaven.
Yeah. DIY. Yeah. God says not, no, you're going to fail a test. Even if you started right now and you were able to carry out the 613 Jewish laws that are there, you would still have failed because you didn't do it for the last 40 years or whatever perfectly. So you still wouldn't live up to that standard. It's a pass or a fail. And a lot of people say, man, you know, God is love. He's not gonna punish anybody. And I absolutely believe with that first statement, God is love. Man, mm-hmm. he loved us so much that he substituted our death on the cross. It's called substitutionary atonement. Every so often you have a person rising up. I think it's actually every generation rises up and is like, it's not substitutionary atonement. It's God's love for us. Can it be both?
Yeah. Is it mutually exclusive?
Yeah, like, right. I think it's probably both. It is a demonstration of God's love for us that he would send his son, that God came to us. We could not work our way to him, but he substituted our death, our destruction that sin had caused, and he put that upon his son.
And I think that's one of the powerful things of the cross is that you see God's love demonstrated in that. I mean, Paul told us that for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And like a good man, he goes on in that a good man will sometimes die for his friends. But God demonstrates his love towards us that while we were still sinners, his son, God in the flesh, died for us. For people then, for people now, for people until he comes back. Like, there's so much. I mean, we think of as parents how much we love our kids and we would go and jump in front of a bus for them. God loves us more than that. And that is incredible.
Yeah. I think there's this aspect of God that relishes in the opportunity to take what's so evil, so shameful,
vile,
so twisted and vile and using it to display his love. Right. He likes to take the foolishness of this world and turn it in and redeem it and turn it into the wisdom. And I think he does that in some ways to take the wise man's wisdom and say, you think you're wise? I'm much more wiser. I know far better than you do. Let me show you. Let me take what you think is wrong, what you think is terrible, and make it something that is so beautiful, so amazing, so good and loving.
So I'd been listening to this comic that I really like, and Nate informed me that the guy died of a heart attack. And I was like crushed for
a day.
Sorry,
man.
And I woke up one morning and I was going, man, God, I think you probably brought him into heaven. He's hilarious. And then I started to go, oh my goodness. I was putting on there the goodness of humanity, or what I like about humanity. I do like humor, and saying this is good. And there's no indication. I don't know where this guy stood before with the Lord. I have no indication that he knew who Jesus was. And so I won't say that he is with God. But I will say that in that moment, I caught myself recognizing that I sometimes don't think sin is that bad. I don't think sin is that really that thing. But if you think about it, if God said, you know, sin deserves death, sin is a death penalty, basically. And so if sin is a death penalty, and the only way that he could resolve that for us was to send an innocent man, his son, Jesus, to a death penalty for the remission of our sins, that there had to be the shedding of blood for that to happen. He made him, Jesus, the scriptures say, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He became that sin for us. He took that punishment. And if God thinks it's that serious, I think we probably should think it's that serious. And I think when you look at the cross, you see the seriousness of what sin is and what sin does and how it destroys, and it's destructive. It's destructive to societies. It's destructive to families. It's destructive to individuals.
But when you see Jesus and your need for him, and then you see the cross, you see the victory. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that part. Like, you see that, yep, we are tempted to sin. We are dead in our transgressions of sin. But because of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his burial and resurrection, we're victorious. We know how the story is going to end. That's powerful.
Yeah. And I think the level of depth in which Jesus goes to the mocking, the shame, the
being spit at and sworn at, and
to the victory that he attains is also such a contrast, such a great story. I think I definitely like the underdog, particularly in sports, and you want to see the little guy defeat the giant. And so when we see what Jesus does on the cross, and goes from this horrific thing, this terrible thing, and transforms it then into this great victory, not just a victory in regards to sin, but a victory over death itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
And that's where Romans 6 talks about that our old self died with him on the cross and the new lives in us. We put on the new with Christ. And so we have that victory. We share in that victory. We live in that victory. We can go forth as a new man. It's a new woman, Nate.
Sorry, dude.
Wow. Killed the moment. Yeah. We digress a little bit. Hey, we just, you listeners, look toward the cross. And it is truly, it's a horrific thing that happened to Jesus. And if you have any inclination that Jesus was God, what it does is it puts a treatise on the human heart, the condemnation of the human potential. We are not good in and of ourselves. We cannot earn our way to heaven. It is only through the blood of Jesus that he died on the cross for us, and he rose again, and we have this victory in him. And God absolutely loves you and wants you to know him. And this is how we enter into relationship with God, is by trusting the one he sent, and that is Jesus. And so I want to just encourage you today, read John 3:16, really famous verse in the scriptures, and just meditate on this and think about this. If this is true, that you are a sinner in need of a savior, who is that savior for you? Thanks for listening. This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. If you have questions, send them over to Travis@evangelup.org, or you can pick up more of our podcasts at evangelup.org. Thanks for listening.